Thank you so much, Ruth. Let's pray as we come to our sermon now. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of year. And we pray now that the words of our hearts, the meditation of all of our hearts, in fact, would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start with a story. Sarah refreshed her inbox again. The investment committee's decision on the Shoreditch proposal should have come in by now. 18 months of financial modelling, presentations that had to be polished to perfection. The refurbishment strategy was sound. She knew it was sound. Her spreadsheets had spreadsheets. But interest rates had shifted overnight. Her property's value had dropped 4% over the last quarter, and she'd spent hours justifying every decision to her senior partners, who grew more skeptical by the day. She remembered her first year arriving before dawn like an eager puppy, desperate to prove herself. Back then, making a senior asset manager role seemed like it would bring a sense of arrival, some peace, maybe even a lie-in past 6 a.m. Now she realized that each promotion simply meant more portfolios to defend, more regulations to manage, and more millions at stake with every call. And yes, sometimes a slightly better coffee. Would the recognition ever truly satisfy? Would there be peace? Last month's Manchester disposal should have felt like victory. She'd sold at a price that defied the downturn. Her managing director had sent her a rare email of congratulations, an actual email, not just a thumbs up emoji. But within days, Collins had closed an even larger deal. Patterson was already being headhunted, and the committee was already questioning her next proposal. Would recognition ever truly satisfy? Would there be peace? And so as her colleagues got ready for another client dinner in Mayfair, another evening of networking, Sarah stared at the invitation. She was exhausted, tired of the survival of the fittest mentality, where every empty building and every missed deadline could fundamentally damage her career. Would recognition ever truly satisfy? Would there be peace? And the good news of Christmas is that you can find rock-solid recognition and a profound peace through Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The good news of Christmas is that you can find rock-solid recognition and a profound peace through Jesus Christ. And I want us to dip into a part of the Bible called Luke's Gospel. It was read to us earlier, so you can see it for yourselves in the middle of your little handouts. And as we work through a few verses here, Luke the writer was a doctor like myself and a historian. So think of the documentary panorama as we read. But he was also someone who collected eyewitness testimony. So it's a cross between panorama and Stacey Dooley. All to say, this is not Chinese whispers. This is not conspiracy theory. This is more like a first century photocopy that we're reading. And you can check out the British Library copies just a stone's throw from here to see early and identical records of what we're reading today. Yes, I admit that there is strangeness here, but we're dealing with God. And so we'd expect there to be a little bit of strangeness, but bear with it. Don't let that stop you from seeing the promise of Christmas. And we're going to pick it up straight after the birth of Jesus, where the scene changes from a stable to some shepherds in the third paragraph on that left-hand page, if you've got the middle bit of your handouts opening. And you'll see it reads that the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, shepherds may feel like a million miles from Mayfair, but it's worth being aware of two things. Number one, their livelihood The livelihood of shepherds was dependent on factors way outside of their control. They didn't have the volatility of financial markets, but they did have the volatility of the weather, wild animals, and the risk of wandering sheep. Picture Asher, one of those shepherds, in his worn woolen cloak on a hillside near Bethlehem. And as the clouds gather overhead, and perhaps he hears a bit of thunder, and he hears a rustle in the bush near him, he remembers what happened just over a month ago when one of his sheep got stuck in the wet mud and was attacked by wolves. He knows that one distracted moment could mean his family goes hungry. You see, their livelihoods were dependent on factors that were outside of their control. That's number one. Number two, remember that they would have naturally craved recognition. Picture another one of those shepherds, Levi, with his flock, looking down into the village. There's a wedding on, but he wasn't invited. Birthing fluids and the blood of carcasses and someone who's barely making ends meet is not the kind of crowd that they were looking for. He was a needed person, yes, but rarely valued. And perhaps, like hard-working West End workers, these shepherds would have been craving acceptance and recognition. In their case, in a society that looked down on them. So the question that I'm focusing on may well have been a question on their minds too. That's the point. Where could they find recognition? A recognition that truly satisfied. Where could they find peace? And it's into this context that God speaks. So you look down at verse 9, sentence 9, third paragraph on the left-hand side. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Glory, God's visible, brilliant presence appeared in the sky. Lights more impressive than Piccadilly Circus, and a slogan far better than Coca-Cola. Look down at verse 10. The angel said to them, here's the slogan, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And oh, how we need this. What's being offered here is not the fleeting joy of a YouTube cat video, as wonderful as they are. It's the sense of something epoch changing. The earthquake is over. The ceasefire is signed. The war is won. Everything will be different now. And the world that so often feels like trying to relax in a room where the fire alarm is going off. How we need this. And this good news comes through a historically verifiable savior. Sentence 11 down there. Today, that is at a certain time, in the town of David, in a certain place, comes a savior, a messiah, God's chosen king. And how will he spot him? Next sentence, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. In other words, peace comes packaged in a person. You know, sometimes we are so used to the nativity play version of Jesus that the good news on offer here passes us by. We can be filled with images of Joseph with a towel on his head, or angels with cereal boxes for wings, or Mary holding a baby, desperately hoping it's not one of those ones that can wee on you. And we miss how good this good news is. But look at Luke chapter 2 again and verse 13. Top of the right-hand page, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. In other words, more angels appear and they are so overjoyed that they burst into song. And what do they sing? Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, here it comes, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace is available. And as this baby, Jesus, grew up, he expanded on what this peace was like. He said that people who feel weighed down can have rest even in their weariness. In other words, even when your commute is a nightmare, even when your children are struggling at school, you can have peace. Even when your world around you seems to be defined by clutching for promotion and prestige, you can have peace. Our lives can stop being about climbing the ladder and become about making a difference, because we are already recognized by the King of the universe, and we have an opportunity to reflect what he is like to others, even in the office, which is exactly what the shepherds do as they run back to where they come from later on, verse 20, and tell everyone how great God is. In other words, you can access a deep well of peace that the world cannot touch, that a well of peace that transforms you day to day. Now look, if that is true, surely that is something to sing about. Listen, if that were true, would you not want that? And because the baby grew up to die and come back to life again, billions around the world believe this, not just because we feel it in our hearts, but because we know the facts of the matter. He rose from the dead. And so the question is, how do we get it? And verse 14 gives us a clue. It says, this peace is available to those on whom his favor rests, those who are in his good books. And so the question, how do we get into his good books? How do we earn his favor? How do we get this recognition from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And here's the shock. God's favor comes by accepting the Savior. God's favor comes by accepting the Savior, not by the extent of our labor, what we do, how much we achieve. It's as simple as unwrapping a gift at Christmas. It's free. It's given. We just say yes, please, and thank you. See, the Bible unpacks that the God who appeared at Christmas made us and loves us. But we haven't been worshiping him and honoring him. And so the world doesn't work. We don't work as we should. And so the baby, God himself, grew up to die for us and rose from the grave now to live for us, so that if we trust in him, he adopts us into his family and we can be part of his bigger story for our lives. Now, let me be clear. This isn't just a lifestyle choice. Eternal punishment is exchanged for eternal pleasure. On the cross, Jesus swaps the penalty we deserve for the peace that is undeserved. And it's a peace that starts now and goes on into eternity. Here's the bottom line. Here's what's being asked of us this Christmas: to accept the gift, to accept the forgiveness and favor that God offers through Jesus Christ, and so to know his peace. Hear the difference it made for Stephen, a lawyer who works in the city. He said this: I was caught up in the pursuit of success as defined by the world. I thought that if I could just achieve enough, I would finally be happy, but it was a never-ending cycle. Make no mistake, Stephen had sacrificed weekends and relationships and even health in pursuit of professional validation. But hear his words: surrendering my life to Christ was the most liberating thing that I have ever done. It freed me from the pressure to perform and the fear of failure. Why? Because he had found favor from the King of Kings that could never be taken away, and a peace that the world could never bring. God's favor comes from accepting the Savior. How might you respond to what you've heard this afternoon? Some of you I know have already embraced the gift of Jesus, and so keep going. But there may be some here today who actually want to do that for the first time, to pray with me as we finish and embrace for the first time this gift of Jesus. Others of you may want to explore, to actively think and chat about this some more on these cards on your rows. There's the opportunity to consider gospel at work, lunchtime services, where you can hear something from the Bible. Think about these things some more in lunchtimes. Well, maybe you're someone who just wants to keep engaging. Stay open-minded, curious. Maybe go for a coffee with someone who brought you along today. Whoever you are, why not let the person you came with know so that if there is a next step for you, they can help you to navigate it. My prayer is that as you reflect on these truths, you would come to know the gift that Jesus offers. Say yes to the gift of forgiveness and favor that he holds out. And so rejoice in this gift in a new way. Let's bow our heads and pray together now. Our loving Heavenly Father, so often we know that we chase after peace and validation in all kinds of ways that seldom satisfy. We're sorry that we've neglected you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to offer the gift of forgiveness and favor for all who would say yes to it. And please would you help us to say a daily yes to Jesus as our King and find help in our time of need. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.